right. Good morning. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. Proverbs 14:22, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. Women in our lives are so important. How many of you had a great mother, excellent sister, great girlfriend, maybe fiance, and then also how many of you an excellent wife?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, really. It's true. I mean, for me, I know. Now, listen. Many, and notice what is happening in the news today. I want to make a comment, but before we get into it, turn to Genesis 1:27. So God, out loud, our screens are down for some reason, so you don't have scripture up on the screen like usual. So you have to use your Bible, however you have it. Verse 27, read it out loud with me, please. 1, 2, 3. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. It doesn't need to be said that a woman is made in the image of God. And the word there, image, is the tselem, is the word, the same word as likeness. And I always love it. I never get over it. I am amazed that we are like God. Isn't it amazing? I've got to also say I'm very much like the devil. Okay, I'm like the devil, but I am made in the image of God. Isn't that awesome? No matter who you are, James 3, verse 9, made in God's image. This is important. The woman is the same. She is one and the same with the man. We'll look at it, verse 28. Out loud, please. Number 1, 2, 3. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Wow, what a big job, huh? Yeah, isn't that amazing? What a big job and a great responsibility. And there was a certain way that it was to be done. How many species, you may be seated. How many species of beetles are there in the insect world? Beetles. I read 200,000 species of beetles. I don't know. How many species of plants were planted in the Garden of Eden? How many plants could they eat? Do you think there was a banana tree? Pineapple, apple, pear? How many plants? Tomatoes, turnips, beets? How many species of plants could they eat in the garden? All of them. Eve said, take and eat. How many hundreds of thousands, maybe even, I don't know. I don't know the number. I don't know. Maybe Pastor Phil would know. We can ask him afterwards. But it wasn't 4 or 10, 4 or 5, 10, 100, 1,000. Hundreds of thousands of plants could be eaten by Adam and Eve. Hundreds of thousands of plants could be eaten. We're eating them today. But there was one. Now, the devil wants us to think God is stingy. But he isn't. He's gracious. He's abundant. He is merciful. He empowers Adam and Eve. He empowers the man and the woman. And the woman made in the image of God. It really means if you saw the woman, you are looking at God. She is like God. Man and woman together are one, and they are like God. And get used to the idea. I know you know it in a fallen nature. I know that we know it in a fallen nature. There is something special about the human race. And it is very obvious. The way we are made and the way that we think and just the fact that we communicate like this. It is amazing. It's continually astounding and incredible the way that we are made. And women are not to be put down or overlooked or not empowered, not helped, not recognized. Women in the beginning of the Bible, from the very beginning, they are at the very center of the plan. And I know that Jesus Christ was very much interested in the subject because he had women around him all the time. They were the disciples. He had the men that were to be the leaders of the church and then the women that were there in many numbers. There were Marys all over the place, weren't there? How many were there? Anybody know? Was it four? And at the tomb, he had a woman come. In the garden, in the garden where the tomb was, and before his burial, it was only a woman that had the sense of doing something worthwhile, which is to pour the box of ointment out upon him and anoint him for what? Burial. She was on target, right? And they estimate the cost of the ointment was $30,000 in our currency. It was a huge fortune that was poured out upon him. But her love and devotion was an important testimony in the story, which would be told all the time around the world whenever the gospel is preached. She would be honored for her service of faith. And like we always explain here, that you go, you know, above, up on top of the refrigerator. What happened to our sound? Are we okay? Can you hear me okay? Okay, to me it's like I'm in a tin can. And okay. Up on the top of the refrigerator or the second story of the house. But the scripture says, Proverbs says, wisdom is too high for a fool. Wisdom is too high for a fool. They don't get it. They are not, nor are they interested, nor are they seeking. Okay. A couple of points. She became, in the Genesis chapter 1, when we read about her, she is a helpmate. And we have... I'm so sorry about this. I'm a little lost. Where is that? Can you help me find it? Yeah, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Boy. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Nope, they go nuts. It's yeah, they do. Okay. Verse 18, I will make him a helpmeet for him. This word is the word ezer. Actually, it's a Hungarian word meaning a thousand, but in the Hebrew, it means helper, a helpmate or a helper. This is the only time in our Bible where we have the woman, well, a person is the helper, and the other places it has God. It's used for God helping, Genesis 49:25, Exodus 18:4, and a few other places in the Pentateuch, and it's in the Psalms and in Isaiah. God primarily is the Ezer, or the helper, the one who helps his people. And the woman has this function, and it says also that it means, what does it mean that the helper, it means she is suitable for the man. The Hebrew word kenegdo, translated as suitable, literally means like opposite him, almost a mirror image. There is a connotation of difference as well as sameness. In other words, when Adam saw Eve, she was suitable for him, a helper for him, and the mirror image of him. They were different, but they were also the same. So this woman is ordained of God in the plan, and my message this morning is simply to recognize that in the very beginning of the coming of the Messiah, God has the secret working that only a few people are aware of. And there are those three names given in the Gospel of Luke that are not recorded. Elizabeth and Anna are not recorded in other Gospels, but in Luke, who is the historian that is searching out the story behind the story, gives us the inside scoop. And so we go now to Luke with me, please, in chapter 1. And the priest is serving in the temple, and an angel, in verse 19, we have saw him, he was troubled. Verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." By the way, if I work hard, I'm under a lot of tension, I may be tired, I go home. Many times people in the world, they say, "I have a little drink to take the edge off, to relax, be at home, relax, and that's how I'm going to deal with my pressures in life." But what would John the Baptist do in that case? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist coming home, he didn't have a wife, but he'd come home. I'm under tension, I'm under pressure, but I have the Holy Spirit. That's how I think about it. I have the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I have to go to God. God will help me relax. God will help me with peace and the way that I should live. This is how we think. And I've noticed when people go to the alcohol, it becomes very hard to stop or to do it, you know. So I don't open the door. That's the way to live. Like, why? When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I have joy, I have a sense of humor, I have a good time, I have my friends around me, I find myself built up in the faith, relaxing also, but not by alcohol, but by the Holy Spirit. That's the point. Go now to verse 16. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. So he had a reason, but he has a reason which is understandable, but somehow before God it wasn't a good thing for him to say. He couldn't. It's like, you're a priest and you're worshiping God and you're giving me a lame excuse when we're talking about God. Your wife is barren and you haven't had any children, and so this isn't going to happen. Do you know that you're talking to an angel right now? Do you know that I came from God to tell you this? Like, you know, come on. Be a spirit-filled minister. And to us pastors, this is a good word, because we can't lose our edge. We can't be making excuses when God is saying something. You know, we can't be compromising in the ministry when we are serving an almighty, holy God. Amen? When the angel's saying it, hey, get real humble before God and believe everything that he is saying. So he goes dumb for, you know, you gave such a dumb excuse that I can't stand listening to you for 9 months. So you're going to be dumb for the whole pregnancy, right? Then how will I know this? I'm an old man, stricken, wouldn't you? Verse 19. The angel answering said, I am Gabriel. You know, this guy's like, do you know who you are talking to? I that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto you and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, where he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me. The idea when she hid herself is that she was very excited about her pregnancy, and she just wanted to respect the miracle of it. And she wanted to take care of herself, wanted the pregnancy to continue on. That she wasn't hiding in that sense, but she was more just to herself, taking care of herself, that this would actually, she would actually bear the child. Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I like that kind of reasoning. I mean, Zacharias is one statement, but this woman actually has an innocence, and there's a humility here, but she also is very sensible. How could this be, because I am a virgin? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Now, I want to say something about this, because it is amazing when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your life, and you know when he says something that you can believe what he's saying, regardless of what is happening on the first floor. No matter what is happening here in this life on this level, there's something extraordinary about our relationship with God and what God does, because when he says it, it is believed, it is embraced, and we walk in it and we actually experience the reality of God in life. And I want to kind of shake the dust off of our normal living. Every Sunday when we come together, every day, no, all the time, and realize that, wait a minute, I know that does make sense, but wait a minute, is there more to the story? Wait a minute, I know. Now, let me say something about the news that's going on about women being harassed at their working place. And because we see it, and it's more of a thing happening, you know, in our culture, that women are saying, I've been harassed by this man at work. And I'm glad that they are able to speak out. I don't have a problem with that. I don't like it when anybody is abused for any reason. That's only normal. I mean, that we would have that sense of what is right and what is wrong. And when it's wrong, and it should be corrected. Absolutely. Wherever it is, whether it has to do with money and poor people or sexuality, male or female, or women at the working place being taken advantage of, and so on. So that being said, yeah, I think there is need for godly women to get godly counsel. So that when they're at a working place, they are able to behave in a way so that they don't find themselves in these problems. And so on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being appropriate living and number 10 being inappropriate, with a man, he could be a professional man that behaves appropriately, but he could also be inappropriate. And a woman could be appropriate and behave appropriately and know what the way she wants to be treated in that professional way. But she could also behave inappropriately. And so it becomes very complicated. And a woman, my advice in our message this morning is that these women were finding themselves, by God's initiation to them, they were finding themselves in a spiritual world where they could hear from God and have a sense of what is right, what is true, what is love, what is believable, what I want to believe in, what God is leading me to believe in. And in both cases, the woman is like told that you're going to have a child. And it was unbelievable, but she believed it. And she entered into a understanding of something that was coming in the future that she was going to be part of. Christ is coming. And actually, I'm on the inside of the story. And I like it. I like it. But let's not fool ourselves. Let us also believe that we are on the inside of the story, and actually, I like it. I mean, we like it. Actually, we like it, that I can have a sense of God speaking to me in the year 2017, with an unfolding plan. And I have a sense of what is God's mind and heart. Now, where does it come down to in the working place? Here's a tip. You go into work as a woman. Maybe you are an attractive woman. And you go into work and you dress in a professional way. And a man initiates you somehow. Is it inappropriate or is it appropriate? You're not sure exactly what does he mean when he says, "You look very nice today." Is that harassment? I don't know how is it perceived. I don't know what his intention is. I don't know how he said it. But the woman needs to have a sense in her own heart, in her own mind, how she wants to behave at work. And she could say right there, "You know, thank you very much, but I'd appreciate it if you'd make no comment about my appearance. Thank you. Period." Okay? Ooh, what does that mean? The guy was told. The man was told what it was that she was expecting at the working place. But if this can't happen with the women, and if it doesn't happen with the men, and if in our culture we are flooding our televisions and movies with the whole message of sexual impropriety and inappropriate behavior and so on, and what do you expect at the working place? "Without the Holy Spirit governing my heart and my mind, without the Holy Spirit including me in his amazing unfolding plan, then I don't have much confidence of how I could behave at a working place. I don't know what kind of wisdom I would have when I really need wisdom. I don't know what I would be saying or how I would be able to handle myself when it needs to be done in the right way." And I'm sorry about what is going to happen. It might be, I saw this little piece about it on the news the other day, but it might be a backlash where a man who's a professional man running a company doing things, he might say, "I can't afford to have professional women working with me. I can't afford it. I don't know what will happen. I might get sued. I might be something happen." So, and he might say, "But these women are amazing gifts for us. And women are amazing talents for us. Women are in the ministry." I've seen it over these many years. We had a women to men ratio in our church in Finland of 200, of 7 to 1. There were 7 women to 1 man. We had 30 men with 210 women, I mean, roughly. Huge number of women and no problems in this area because of the Holy Spirit giving us God's mind and sense. And every one of these women, I mean, I have so much trust in them, in their nature and their character and their way of operating. And they have added so much to our church that has been absolutely incredible. Missionary giving, missionary service, ministry in many ways, prayer meetings, giving money, teaching, and wisdom. Let me go to the third woman here. This is in Luke chapter 2. And she is also kind of unusual in her profile. Verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess. What was she? A prophetess. What does that mean? She was a prophetess. Wow. I would consider that to be a high honor, wouldn't you? Prophetess. Wow. Man, what's that mean? She's got the word of God. She's a woman of wisdom. A wise woman builds her house. But a foolish one plucks it down with her hands. And we can see that in many ways. I can say the wise thing. I can avoid the tar, you know, I think of a ball of tar, because when I was a teenager, my dad asked me to tar the roof. He didn't ask me, he hired me to do it. I worked for him. I had to tar the roof, the flat roof of his store. If you know me, and my wife knows me, I mean, by the end of the day, I'm covered head to toe with tar. I mean, I just, you know, I'm itching over here. I get the tar there, and, you know, it's in my hair. I get the tar, I step in it. I'm, like, trying to wipe it. You know, I'm just a mess, okay? There are things that you will touch in life, and you shouldn't. Forget it. Don't touch it. You say, if I touch it, I can wipe it off, man. You're not sure how it'll go. You touch it, you may not know it. You get messed up, okay? This woman, Anna, is somehow been keeping herself. Now, doing a little math, and this is just off the record, even though I'm publicly speaking, and I take that as an honor, but I'm letting you know ahead of time, I don't really know how old she was. But when we read this, if she was married when she was 15 years old, let's say, that's a young age for us, but in the ancient world, that was more the way it was. 15, then she's married 7. She's 21 when her husband, she becomes a widow at 7 years after her virginity. So we have 15 years, she gets married. I'm making it up. 7, and she's 21. And then 84 years, she's a widow. Read it with me. It says, she was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, which was one of the lost tribes. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. That would put her at 105 years of age. And when she lived those 84 years without a husband and without children, as a widow, and it said that she did not leave the temple. She departed not from the temple, meaning she didn't withdraw from the temple. She wasn't alienated from the temple. She didn't like go away from the temple. She stayed with God, we could say. Meaning, like, there is, no matter what is happening on the first floor of my life, there is a wisdom that is higher, and if I get a hold of that, I'm able to live a life in the secret place of the Most High, in the fellowship, and I'm able to discern between the things that really count and the things that don't count. To recognize what are the important things. Like my church life is important to me. My understanding of these messages as God would minister to me, they help me. My sisters and brothers, I get a sense in the Spirit of God that we are on the road, that, excuse me, one day we'll see Jesus Christ and be in our flesh glorified. There are important things, the weighty matters of the law, the love, the mercy, the faith, the grace, the important things like forgiving people and loving people. We have a brother in our church, and I don't want us to know him this way. Pastor Hadley knows him well, and he's an amazing spirit-filled brother. He was in jail for incarcerated for 34 years. And I was at his home yesterday and talking with him. And it's like 34 years in jail. But I found, he said, I've been to many churches around Baltimore, but at Greater Grace, nobody's looking at me like except love. That's what they want to know about. That's what they're looking for. What is the Spirit saying? What is the Spirit doing? That's very edifying for me to hear that. And I don't want to believe that it isn't. It is in other churches. I know that. It is in the world. I know that. We have no honor in thinking that it isn't in other places. It is in other places, and we want it to be there, and we pray for our sisters and brothers that they would, and we would also continue in this secret, because even as Jesus came the first time as a baby, I got a feeling, and you know it, he is coming a second time as a king. And we can feel and sense that we did not make this up. We would not be doing this on our own. We would not be able to even think in these terms, but God, by his word, has made us in his image, and the man and the woman made in the very image of God are fulfilling an amazing plan. And the woman being wise, the woman being humble, and the woman discerning, and many of them through the scripture, Abigail did it, Deborah did it. We see it with these women. We see it in the New Testament with Aquila and Priscilla, that family. We see it in the ministry of the church today and through church history. A woman like Abigail Adams, President John Adams's wife, she was a hot potato. A woman was like socially, business, farmer, wise, loved literature, like a capable woman giving advice to her husband who became president. And her letters are huge, thousands of letters she wrote, and very much engaged, and also, from what I have understood, a godly woman. A woman, wow, a woman, but not down here. Like, that's the problem for all of us. Down here, this is where we get our confusion and our trouble. But this woman, 84 years a widow, and I'll finish verse 37. She was a widow of 84 years, which she parted not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. What would you think of her if you met her? How could you do that? Fastings and prayers night and day. But the Holy Spirit was doing it, and she enjoyed it and was like walking with God. A woman, a widow who is a widow indeed. 1 Timothy chapter 5. But some wax wanton. When their husband is dead, has died, they wax wanton, it says, that there's a craving, a desire they're looking for, they're trying to find. But in this case, this woman did not operate that way. What a beautiful example for all of us. And then she coming in that instant, right in that hour, when the baby Jesus was there to be circumcised, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And let me repeat it. She spake of him to all them. Hold it. She spoke of the baby to who? All them that looked for redemption. All them. Was it at the same moment? No, I don't know, but maybe the rest of her life. She was talking to the people that were looking for redemption, and she spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption. I would say she could have a rap session. I would say that she had a gift of wisdom. I would say she had insight. I would say she was like a prophet, a prophetess, right? She was. I would say that she had a particular gift and capability. I would say that she would edify the body like Martin Luther's wife, Katie von Bora. Like that John Knox had an amazing wife, and his mother-in-law was very instrumental to him in his ministry because he had spiritual fellowship with his mother-in-law, John Knox. Women of God, hear me. All the women of God, listen to me. All the women of God, thank God. Listen, we got Mary, she could have had a different story. Elizabeth, she could have been down here at a lower level. Anna could have been at a lower level. But no, they fed from another source and were so precious and instrumental and important in the unfolding plan of God. And that's who we are, and that's what I want to encourage you in. And I hope something we said today will be used by the Holy Spirit to encourage you. We have such amazing ladies in our church, young and old, that have followed God with all their hearts, just like we're saying. And God has done beautiful things, and great is their story, and great is their wisdom and their sense of how to live life. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We are saying that we need to know sometimes not to listen to something. I'll get tar all over me. Maybe. And it might not stop. But there's a finished work, the work of Christ, the body of Christ, the Spirit-filled life, the wisdom from above. Yes, Lord, we need to keep our families together. And it takes a gift, a work of grace. And we may not succeed, even though we are messengers of grace and love. We struggle and stumble sometimes. But again, we look to you, God. You will help us. You will help us. You will show us. And even in a church life, we might stumble along somehow, but in a human point of view. But not from God. From God, he has something. Yeah, something that he's doing that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. We are part of that. Thank you for it, Lord. More missionaries out on the field. More godly people at the working place. More wise people starting businesses and working and hiring people. More families right on in tune, right in step with you and your plan. And more of the pastors, Lord, guided and led in your spirit and walking in the secret work of heaven on earth. Send laborers, Lord. Raise up people in prayer, in faith, in love, in sharing the message, in understanding the Bible as we grow in you and in sacrifice and service. Thank you, God. Raise us up in how to listen, how to avoid the cancer, the poison. We put on latex gloves just to be careful with bacteria, but then we open up our ears and our hearts to garbage and poison that could take out my soul and pollute my whole life. We're careful with the bacteria, but are we careful with the words? We're careful with bacteria, but are we careful with our television and our computer? Or are we being poisoned on the inside? Well, these women had something going on, and so do we. Bless it, Lord. Bless our thoughts in Jesus' name. And then anyone here or on the internet that's not a believer, today is your day to believe in Christ. Today is the day of your new birth. Today is the day when you call God Father. Today is the day when you say, thank you, Father, my sins are gone. Today is the day, yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Anyone raise your hand, you're welcome to come up to Christ, to come to Christ. Come up after the service, shake my hand. God bless you, in Jesus' name, amen.